Thank you, Brother Fletcher. Take your Bibles and actually go to Mark chapter 4. And I intended to be in Acts chapter 5 tonight, but I feel like the Lord would rather us look at a different passage. So if you want Acts chapter 5 and chapter 6, you have to come back next week. Yeah. And hopefully Paul won't come back next week. Just teasing, Paul. We love you. Kind of like a crazy uncle sort of love you. Yeah, no, just easy. Mark chapter number 4 is where I'd like for you to turn. Mark chapter 4. You go through some hectic seasons in life. But all of life is not a hectic season. Okay? You go through chaotic seasons, but all of life is not chaotic. And it is important when you're going through a season like this, it is important to make sure you step back and see the big truths of God's Word, the big truths about God Himself. It's important that you and I have the ability and take the time to make sure that we look at the big picture of what God is up to in our world. So, Mark chapter 4, and we're going to start in verse 35. Let's stand together if you are able and if you are willing. Let's stand. Mark chapter 4, grab your Bibles and read along. Because the most important thing that will be said tonight is about to be read. Okay? My dad always said, read the Bible first, because then if they stop listening, at least they got the Bible. Okay? So, if you fall asleep after this, at least you got the Bible. That's why we make you stand, so you won't fall asleep. All right? Mark chapter 4, verse 35. And the same day. That kind of feels like today. And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. Okay, so lots of detail, lots of information. He said, they sent everybody away, long day of ministry, long day of working, long season, it's been chaotic, been a lot happening, a lot going on at the office, a lot happening in the neighborhood, a lot of things taking place with the family, busy, busy, busy. And the same day, he says, I know it's busy, but let's get in the boat and let's go to the other side. Verse 37. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and they say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? He says, don't you even care that the waves and the wind and the storm and the rain is coming into the boat? Don't you care about this? Aren't you paying attention? Can't you see what's happening? Verse 39. And he arose, and he rebuked the wind, and he said unto the sea, read the words with me, three words, ready? Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was great calm. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? And how is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one unto the other, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word tonight, and I pray that you would use it in our hearts and in our lives. Encourage our hearts, lift our eyes to you, strengthen our hearts. Like David prayed, I pray that we would encourage ourselves in you. May we be encouraged in you tonight. May we be confident in you tonight. And in your Son's name we pray. And all the church said, amen. Thanks for standing. You may be seated. You do not have to know a lot about the Bible to know that what is happening in this text is not good. You do not have to know a lot about boats and waves and storms to know that what is happening in this text is not good. Right? The Bible says, verse 34, and there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. There are seasons in our lives in which there are storms, in which there are waves, in which there is wind. That's where these guys find themselves. And they find themselves there after a very long day of having served the Lord. Of a long season of having followed God wholeheartedly. And so in their minds, they are going to go jump in the boat and they're going to take a nice cruise to Catalina Island. That's what they're thinking. It's going to be a nice cruise right across the water, and we're going to have a nice little peaceful vacation on the other side of this cruise. And there arose a great storm. Adrian Rogers said this: you are either in a trial, or you are headed into a trial, or you are coming out of a trial. But make no mistake, there are trials. You are either in a trial, you are either headed to a trial, or you are just coming out of a trial. But make no mistake about it, there are trials. Think about life. Think of how fragile life is. Think of how short life can be. Okay, what could happen by the end of the day today? What do you have that could not be taken away by the end of the day today? It's just one phone call, just one message, just one wrong turn or to the wrong street at the wrong time in the wrong place. Like, well, we've all lived long enough, we all know enough to know that there is not a lot that can't be taken away before the day is over tonight. Like, there's very little that you have that you can't lose by the end of the day today. Your health, your finances, your relationships, the friendships, parents to children, children to parents. There's not a whole lot in this life that you can bank on. There's not a whole lot in this life that you can count on. Like, remember the song, Lean On Me, when you're not strong. I'm going to do a special on that one. Remember that song? And you think, well, I got some good friendships. But we know enough to know that even good friendships aren't always good friendships. Like, we know enough to know that there's just not a lot of things that we have in this life that can't be taken away by the end of the day today. I love my children. But my children could do something and they can walk into my house and say, "Dad, you're the worst dad we've ever met. We hate you. Stay out of our lives." And out the door they go. I love Amanda. But we live in a sin-cursed, fallen world. And I hope I get to stay with you till the day we die, baby. I mean, not that it's anytime soon. I'm not counting on it like tomorrow. But the truth is, a lot of marriages don't make it. Like you get, I've got my friends, or I've got my kids, or I've got this relationship, right? But we know enough to know that these things, in the right circumstance or the wrong circumstance, and at the wrong time, and in the wrong thing, and in the wrong way, they could all be taken away from us. What do you really have that you can't lose? What do you really possess that is actually yours that you are possessing? What do you have that can't be taken away before the end of the day today? Not a lot. Not a lot at all. You have a relationship with God. Hopefully you have a relationship with God. And apart from a relationship with God, that's the only thing that you can't lose before the day is over. You want a case in point? You want a case study on that? Here's the case study on that. The entire book of Job. The entire book of Job. The entire book of Job is about how Job lost it all. Friends, kids, houses. Even in the end, his wife said, "Job, it's better if you would just curse God and die." Like, if your wife says to you, "You should just die," you have a problem in your relationship. How many of you agree with me on that one, okay? Yeah. If your wife says that, you need real therapy and counseling. Don't call me. I have no remedy for you, okay? You can call somebody else, right? You got problems if your wife says that to you. Again, the entire book of Job is one big case study how that whatever we're holding on to in this life, it's not worth holding on to. It's not substantial. It won't last. These things will and can fail at any given moment in life. These things will and can fail at any given moment in life. There are storms that arise. There are waves that beat into the ship. There is water that does rise in our boat. And you can try to bail water all you want. And this is most people that I know. Most people are just trying to bail water. They're saying things like, "Oh, if I could just make it to the end of the week. Oh, if I could just make it to retirement, if I could just get that payday, if I could just meet her, if we could just buy that house, if we could just have that property, if we could just bail water. This is how most people live their lives. Most people are going through their lives, just bailing water. And they're saying, I'm just living for the weekend, right? Just bailing water. I got to go to work tomorrow, and for Tuesday, and Wednesday, and Thursday. If I could just make it to Saturday. Oh, my goodness. We'll wake up tomorrow. We'll go to the office and go, "Oh, my goodness, is it Friday already? I mean, is it break time yet?" And this is how most people go through their day. Just trying to bail water out of the boat. There are seasons in which storms and winds and waves beat into our lives. Listen, we talked about this morning, but sometimes that's because of our own decision making. Some of the storms that we experience are storms that we ourselves created. Some of the problems that we have to deal with are problems that we ourselves created. And you said hateful things to your wife. Now you got a problem with your wife. There's a storm brewing. You got to go make it right. You said hateful things to your boss. You lied on your taxes. You cheated the company. You took things without permission. Okay, those are storms of your own making. Sometimes we experience storms of our own making. Sometimes we just experience natural, common storms, natural, common problems. It rains on the just, and it rains on the unjust. Christians get sick, and non-Christians get sick. Believers die, and non-believers die. Good people have problems, and bad people have problems. Sometimes it's just the season, the circumstance of life. And when we encounter those things, we should remember ultimately that life and this life is not the way it's supposed to be. Life is not the way that God intended it. Death is the most unnatural of things. God did not intend for us to die. God did not intend for death to happen. No, death is a result of sin. The wages of sin is death. God's plan was for us to live in perfect unison and harmony with Him. That was God's plan. Death is a result of sin. So things are not the way they should be. Like when the head pounds with a migraine, it's not supposed to happen that way. When the eyes squint and can't read, the words on the Bible, they're getting smaller and smaller. I'm always I'm doing this number. I find myself doing that more often, right? This is a reminder. Life is not the way it's supposed to be. It takes more and more cups of coffee to get me up in the morning. That is not the way it's supposed to be. You think these things are to remind us that this was not God's plan, but we experience these things in life. Why? Because of sin. Because of sin. Our world is broken. Our world is broken. And when there is sin, and where there is sin, there is always death. Spiritually, emotionally, relationally, physically, financially, you can look at any way, any capacity. Where there is sin, there is death. Someone sins against you, something inside of that relationship dies. When someone sins against you, something inside of that relationship dies. There's a part of you, you pull back from that. There's no trust now. The trust has died. The confidence has died. Something's broken because of sin. When you sin against someone, something dies. And well, I just wish it could be the way it was. Well, it can't be because of sin. That's what he's saying. But there are storms. Sometimes storms are just common, natural things. Sometimes storms are because of sin. Sometimes storms just happen inside of the plan of God. Jesus tells them, get in a boat and let's go across the sea. Get in a boat and let's go across the sea. Here's what you need to know. The disciples did exactly what God told them to do. And they still encountered a storm. The disciples did exactly what God told them to do. And they still encountered a storm. The disciples did exactly what God told them to do. And they still encountered a storm. You see, this is where we get shaky, right? This is where we struggle because really our thinking is, I did everything I was supposed to do. Why is there a storm? Why am I not kicked back on the front of this boat just looking up at a beautiful night sky counting stars? Why am I experiencing problems in my relationships? I did everything I was supposed to do. Why are bad things happening to me? I did everything I was supposed to do. Why aren't things going according to plan? I did everything that I was supposed to do. The disciples do everything they're supposed to do. And verse 37, and there arose a great storm. Jesus is in the back part of the ship and he is sleeping on a pillow. Like some of you are sleeping right now without the pillow. He was sleeping with one. They go back and they wake him up. Master, don't you care? Don't you care? Isn't that a funny question? Don't you care about us? Don't you care what's happening to us? Don't you care? Okay, now I want you to think about this rationale, right? What are they afraid of? They're afraid that the boat is going to sink. And so they're afraid for themselves. And here's what they're saying. They're going to Jesus now and they're saying, don't you care about us? Why are you sleeping in the back of the boat? The ship is going to sink and we're all going to drown. Now, is Jesus on the boat? So if the boat sinks, doesn't Jesus sink too? Right? Like, I want you to think about their reasoning. Their reasoning is so off. Like, they're going, don't you care about us? The boat's sinking and we're going to drown. But Jesus is on the boat too, and if the boat sinks, he drowns too, and Jesus doesn't drown. Right? Like, I mean, just like think this through. He's on the boat. So he clearly cares if the boat makes it or doesn't make it. Listen, Jesus clearly cares for you. And sometimes in our lives when we go through storms, like, well, don't you care? Don't you care? Yeah, the proof that God cares was this. God sent his Son into the world to save you, to save me from our sin. That's all the proof that we need that God cares. If God answers my request, great. If God does what I ask, right, then great. If God meets my need the way I think my need should be met, then wonderful. But if God doesn't, so be it. This is what the Hebrew boy said. Now, what you need to know, Nebuchadnezzar, is God can save us from the fiery furnace. But if God doesn't save us from a fiery furnace, he's still God. What you need to know is God can save us from that. But what you also need to know is if we get thrown in there and we get burned up, which is more likely, it's more likely that you're going to get thrown into the furnace and be burnt up than be thrown into the furnace and Jesus walk around with you. Like, let me think about it. Yeah, I got one example of Jesus saving people from the fiery furnace. And Fox, in his book of martyrs, has hundreds of examples of a lot of people being thrown into the furnace and not being saved. We lose sight of that. We lose sight of that. So he might save us. I mean, our God is that powerful that he might save us. But what you also need to know is even if he doesn't save us, we're still not bowing down and worshiping you because you are not God. The disciples, they lose sight of that. Don't you care if we perish? Verse 39. And he arose and he rebuked the wind and the sea and he said, peace, be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And then Jesus does what Jesus does. Right? Jesus, now verse 40, Jesus, he turns his attention to the disciples and he rebukes them. This is a rebuke. Here's what he says. Why are you so fearful? What are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? How is it that you have no faith? Now, in Matthew's account, Luke's account of this, they use Jesus' words a little bit different. Matthew and Luke, they actually say that Jesus says, O ye of little faith. Right? O ye of little faith. Which is like this. Jesus is asking basically this question. Why aren't you using your faith? Like you have it. Why aren't you using it? So he isn't talking about amount of faith. He's talking about the activity of faith. He isn't talking about the amount of faith. He's talking about the activity of faith. He's saying you aren't putting your faith to work. So there's certain movements in our world that say, well, you would have a healing, or you wouldn't have problems, or you would get rich, and you would drive, a Lexus if you just had more faith. And the reason things are going bad for you is because you don't have enough faith. You wouldn't be sick. You wouldn't have problems. You'd be rich if you just put more faith into it. So then the problem becomes on us, right? Like we're the ones who don't have enough faith. But this is what Jesus says. Jesus says, if you have the faith of a grain of a mustard seed, you can say to a mountain, get up and move, and the mountain gets up and moves. So how much faith do you need? We just need the faith of a grain of a mustard seed. That's not a lot. Jesus isn't talking about the amount of faith. Jesus is talking about the activity of faith. He's saying, you have faith, you just aren't using your faith. He's saying, use your faith. Use what you know. Paul does a similar thing when he talks to the church later on in his epistles. Paul says, at a time when you should have been teachers, you have needs that someone teach you again because you have forgotten what you've learned about God. So now you're going through a storm, and now the winds are blowing, and now the water is filling up the boat, and now is when you need to get your faith out and you need to use your faith. Now is when you put faith to the work. Now is when you put it to the test. Now is when you use it. Not when it's beautiful, there's a nice breeze coming across the front of the boat, and there's skies and the stars. Wow, I just have so much faith. It's easy to have faith when the boat's not sinking. That's not faith. When the boat is not sinking, that's not faith. When the boat is filling with water and the storms are raging and the winds are blowing, that is when faith is required. That is when faith is required. He's saying, why didn't you use your faith? And they, verse 41, they feared exceedingly. What manner of man is this that even the wind and wave obey? Okay, so very, very, very easy. Very simple. The disciples, they always get beat up in this passage, and listen, rightfully so, right? But I want to say something good about the disciples. Can I do that? Is that okay with you? I say something good about the disciples because I am more times just like the disciples and less like how I think the disciples should have responded, right? Like, it's easy for me to read and be like, come on, dude, Jesus was in the boat, you know? Yeah, but Jesus is in my life too. And I have storms too. And I have waves too. Mine are different than these. Theirs were physical. Mine may be emotional. Mine may be physical. It's easy to look back and say, all the disciples. But let me get you this right here. Here's what the disciples at least did. Here's what the disciples, they at least did this. They stayed in the boat. Like at least, they're fearful, yeah. They're scared, sure. They're even coming to Jesus and accusing him of not caring, yes. But they at least stayed in the boat. Like, here's what they didn't do. They didn't do, get one of those other boats over here and I'm going back to the shore. They didn't say, hey, drop anchor, man. Drop the life raft. I'm getting out of here. They didn't say, call him back up. We're bailing. They didn't say, let him sleep in the back. I want nothing to do with this. Like, at least they stayed in the boat. Sometimes there are some seasons where all you can do is stay in the boat. Sometimes there are some seasons where all you can do is stay in the boat. The older I get, the more impressed I am with long-term faithfulness and obedience to God. The older I get, the more impressed I am with long-term faithfulness and obedience to God. It's what Eugene Peterson called long obedience in the same direction. You want a definition of the Christian life? Long obedience in the same direction. Long obedience in the same direction. The older I get, the more impressed I am with just, good, old-fashioned faithfulness. Just good, old-fashioned faithfulness. There's nothing flashy about it. There's nothing alluring about it. There's nothing catchy or snappy about it. There's nothing to write home to mama about. But there is something to be said for just long-term obedience. Just staying in the boat. Just staying in the boat. Okay. What does that mean for you? What does that mean for me? What does that mean for you? What does that mean for me? This is it. We'll go home. Number one, God calls you and God calls me to the greatest of all adventures, even though we don't know what those adventures will be. Like, I want you to think about this. If there had not been a storm, would you even be reading about this part? Had there not been a storm, would this even be included in Mark chapter 4? The answer to that question is no. Because John gets to the end of his letter and John says, oh, and by the way, all of the deeds that were done by the Lord Jesus Christ, if you recorded them in the book and the pages, that there is not enough book and pages in all of the world to record all the good deeds that the Lord Jesus Christ has done. Do you know why this one gets included? Because there's a storm. You know why this one gets included? Because there's a storm. And God calls you and God calls me to the greatest of all adventures. And we don't know what lays ahead, but we know who's called us to the adventure. I don't know what's in the journey, but I do know that God has called me to the journey. So this is one of the greatest truths of the Bible. I don't know what's around the next bend, but I do know that God has called me to turn in the next and around the next bend. And that is where most Christians come up short. God is calling to you. God is calling to you. It's an adventure. You felt it in your heart 10 years ago at a missions conference. It started doing thump, 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 thump. And you went, I feel like I should be a missionary. I feel like God's calling me. But what would happen? And what if? And how am I going to get the money? And where am I going to go? And what about? And how do I answer? What about my job? What about my family? What about this? And what about that? And God's called you to an adventure, but you could not and would not take a step of faith. You wouldn't take a step of faith. And so now what? Now life is just floating along on the boat. That's how you float on a boat. It's just floating along on the boat, and there's no purpose, and there's nothing waking you up in the morning, and there's no drive, and you're just, I'm disgruntled at my job. Just disgruntled at my house. Disgruntled at everybody in the church. Just disgruntled with my neighbors. Disgruntled with the law enforcement. Disgruntled with politics. Disgruntled with... You're just disgruntled with everybody. You're just angry at everybody. You know why? Because you felt 10 years ago, thump, 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 thump. You felt God calling you to an adventure. And yet, unlike Joshua, you stood at Canaan land and you looked in, and instead of being strong and courageous and saying, God is calling me, there's giants in the land, but God's with me and not with them, so I'm going. Instead, you went, the wilderness is okay. Some of you felt it and you pulled back from it. Some of you felt it. And you pull back from it. And to you tonight, here's what I'm saying. God is calling you to the greatest of all adventures. Surrender. Just surrender and just go. Just surrender and go. You will never regret it. You will never, for a second, regret giving your all to God. Jim Elliot lost his life on the mission field. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. And you felt it and you said, I just want to try to keep this. No. God is calling you to the greatest of all adventures. Some of you should be missionaries. Some of us should be church planting. Some of us should be pastoring in regions where they need pastors. Some of us should be filling. God calls. Where is he going to get people if we don't surrender and go? I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you. You say, well, you're just trying to get people to leave the church. And I'm trying to get more churches all over the world. That's what I'm trying to do. And God has called you, and you pulled back at Canaan's gate, and you should have stepped 10 years ago, and you did it. Listen, do this. Everybody do it really fast. Go. Okay, like five of you did it. I said everybody. Everybody do it. Go. You see that? That's called breath in your lungs. Use that breath while you still have breath, because the night comes when no man can work. Because the night comes when no man can work. God calls us to a great adventure. You don't know what lays ahead. I understand. I don't know what's around the next corner in my life either. But I know God's with me, and that's okay. That's enough. God calls us to the greatest adventures. We should go. Second thing, I said it'd be short, but this one won't be. Second thing, no battle, no blessing. No storm, no story. No battle, no blessing. No storm, no story. No storm, no story. Everybody wants a story. Everybody I know wants a story. And nobody wants a storm. You kidding me? No. No storm, no story. No storm, no story. Last one. The closer you are to Jesus, the more in Jesus' presence you want to stay. Amen. You know why they didn't bail on the boat? Because Jesus was on the boat. The closer you are to Christ, the more in Christ's presence you want to stay. This is what David says. David says, oh, I have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. And when you have tasted and seen that the Lord is good, do you know what you want? You want more taste, and you want to see more that God is good in your life. When you know that God is good, when you have experienced the blessing and the presence of God on your life, then there is one thing about you and about me and about us all that is the same. We want to experience it again and again and again. Over and over and over again. I want to keep going to that well, and I want to keep drinking from that water, because in that water and from that well, we will never thirst again. So Paul says, I am running my race. I have got my eyes on the finish line, and I am not going to give up in this fight until I get there. Why, Paul? Why would you say that? Why would you do that? Because I want to win Christ. Because I want to know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering. I want to know Christ. And Christ said, get on the boat. And Christ said, we're taking a journey. And Christ is on the boat. And I just want to be in His presence with Him. There's an adventure that awaits. There's a story that you can have. But it requires for you and for me to get our faith out and to use it. And I don't know in what way in your life that you need to do that. I don't know how God is speaking to you. I can't tell you how God is speaking to you. I can only tell you what God speaks to me. I don't know how God is leading and guiding in your heart. But if your heart a moment ago started going, thump, 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 thump. He's right. Pastor's right. You know what I called you to. You know what you're running from. You know what you're running from. If that's you, stop running. Yeah, but how are we going to do it? What happens? And what about the house and the job and the kids and the college? And what about? Just follow Christ. You will be no fool to give up what you can't keep anyway to gain what you can't lose. Maybe for you, it's just, you know what? I'm committing myself. I'm staying in the boat. Just long-term faithfulness, long-term obedience. I'm just settling in, settling down, long obedience in the same direction. Thank God for silver-haired saints who just stayed faithful throughout decades of service to the Lord. That got one clap. That should have got a couple more than one, but I'm going to let you off because it's been a long day. Thank God for silver-haired saints who are just faithful to the Lord. Faithful to their wives, faithful to their husbands, faithful to their kids, faithful to the church, just faithful. When you get to heaven, do you know what you hear? Well done. You good and very popular and very famous servant. No. Well done, you good and faithful servant. Just faithful. Maybe for you tonight, that's what you need to commit to. Just, I'm going to stay in the boat. I'm going to stay faithful. I'm going through a season of storms, waves, winds. But the more that you're in the presence of God, the more you want to stay in the presence of God. And if this is where God is in the middle of the storm, that's where I want to be. What about you? What about you? Let's stand for prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your word tonight. And we ask that you would use your word in our hearts and our lives. Father, I pray for those room that are going through a storm. I pray that you would encourage them, encourage their hearts, set their eyes on you, give them good.